true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
So we're feeling good. We're feeling good. It's a light day. Well, I have no idea what the Mandela effect is, everybody. And welcome to the podcast. We've been joking about, these guys were like, so we should talk about the Mandela effect. And I was like, I don't know what that is. And then I wanted to Google it, but I'm lazy, so I didn't. And so I think you're wanting to talk about it, right, Cass?
Yeah. So we reverse engineered the concept for today's episode. I'm like, no. Katie, don't Google it, because that'll be the thing, is explaining it and getting into that conversation. So we justified your laziness by coming up with a great idea for an episode.
Perfect. Wonderful. The part is funny to me is I just don't care that I'm lazy.
No.
I don't even need to justify it. I'm just what not a thing I'm going to do. But thank you for justifying it. That being said, thank you for that.
I got your back.
All right. So here are my ideas.
Okay. Welcome to the podcast.
For the listener.
Someone say the word poop real quick just to get it out of the way.
Feces, but anus.
Okay, now we can move forward with respect on the Mandela effect. Katie, what do you think the Mandela effect possibly could be?
Well, now that you did that, I think it has to do with poop. Are we sure that this volume, this makes me nervous. I can't do it. I need it closer and I need to do that. I got to fit there. Boom. Now I feel like, I don't know what's happening. Okay. Either the Mandela effect is the butterfly effect.
Which is, go ahead and explain that.
Which is where you, like a butterfly flaps its wings in Japan and then a tsunami happens in Jamaica.
Right. Right. That we're all interconnected and small changes in one part of a system can occur, can create large, huge changes, ripple effect elsewhere.
Which is always why in time travel movies, they never want you to like move the pen on the desk, because then your grandpa might never be born.
Right.
And then what would happen?
For so much more on the butterfly effect, check out the Time Pop podcast.
Did you do an episode on the butterfly effect with what's his name?
We did two episodes on the butterfly effect about what's his name. And it just comes up in general conversation a lot.
What's his name?
Who's his name?
Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, the movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it's a time travel based movie, and that's
I thought you were going to like know a scientist that like knew a thing.
No, in case you forgot, Desmond has another podcast on his network that he is one of the hosts of, and it is about time travel called Time Pop.
Not a scientist, just a nerd who's watched over 40 time travel movies.
Oh, we have to talk more about this. Time travel movies. I was talking with a buddy the other day about, I don't suppose you have any Scorpio in your chart, do you, Des?
I was raised by a Scorpio. That had to have had an effect on me.
Yeah. What's your sun, moon, and rising? Do I know this already? How have I not asked you this?
I don't know. I'm a Sagittarian. I'm a self-described Sagittarian.
Okay. I love that. So you're on the cusp.
I am. I'm on the, not super on the cusp, but once I started reading Sagittarius, it started to fill in a lot of gaps. I don't remember. It's funny. My dad got really into astrology for a while and he refused to do my chart because he didn't want to try to outguess me based like, oh, well, of course my son is like this because he's, he just wanted me to be who I was because that's who I was, not because the stars told him so.
Ugh, I have so many feelings about that idea. God damn it. I'll share them because it might be useful to the listener. And then we're coming back to Mandela. Don't you worry. So you're mostly Capricorn, but you're close to Sag is what you're saying.
Yes.
In your sun sign.
Yes.
Okay. Here's why I asked that question about Scorpio is because Scorpios are sort of notoriously interested in the other realms, in the occult, in the weird stuff like time travel and like death and ghosts and stuff like that. But they don't dive full in. They keep like a little toe in the water, but they're like, nah, that's interesting over there. Cool. All that nerd shit, fantasy, horses that are actually people, you know, whatever. What's that called? A half man, half horse is called a
centaur. Centaurs that are actually people. It's just, I think that's called My Little Pony, but yeah, go on.
Wizards, fairies, that whole thing. But they'll get into it usually like through fantasy books and through things they read and things they're curious about, but they don't, because they're not Aquarians like my ass, where they're like, and I live there. And now I channel from there and I speak of it as if it's just very, very normal. There's like, they're like just one step a little removed. So anyway, the words you were saying sounded kind of scorpion.
That all sounds a lot like me. I dip my little toe in everything. Mm. I have knowledge of everything and I've mastered none.
That sounds like Gemini.
Well, there you go. That is absolutely 100% me. And if it takes any time to master, I stop.
Not doing it.
Yeah. So I have a...
Just out.
Yeah. Quick dip and dive. Oh, I got pretty good at that because it was easy to get pretty good at it. And that's it.
Right. Any more, it's like, nah.
Katie, I finally did figure out, because last time we talked about this, I was like double Gemini, sun, moon, and you're like freaking out. And then Mercury, but rising is Libra for me.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Good for you. That makes sense with you. You know about Libra now a little bit?
I haven't actually looked enough. Like, what would Libra rising kind of mean?
Well, okay. So the rising sign speaks to, it's sort of known as like the ambassador sign. It's the sign, it's the energy that people get from you before you do anything. It's the energy that comes in the room ahead of you. So your personality will be like, no, I think I'm very blah, blah, blah. But people experience you as Libra, like the first thing they feel. And so Libra is very heart, community, connection, love, family, the team, the collective. It's very social nine on the Enneagram, Libra, but it's also like beauty and things that are pretty. And so I could see you having a Libra rising. So we found out that the third Gemini position is Mercury. Okay, great. That makes sense too. So double Gemini with a bunch more Gemini somewhere else. That's great. And yeah. But so Gemini, in addition to being head, we sort of on the podcast only ever talk about your headiness, but there's other really fun qualities of Gemini. Gemini is known as being the charmer, very charming. They can be friends with anyone. They're very interested in a lot of different shit. They sort of flit around and do a lot of things, charming everybody, flitting around, charming everybody. Everybody likes them. You want a Gemini at your party. They can be this or they can be that. And people do, they make the big deal of the twins idea. Like, it's like, oh, I'm split personality and I'm...
Or you're two-faced. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that at all. that's not what it is. But yeah. So Gemini's chatty, chatty Cathy's, friends, charming, interested in tons of stuff, heady, heady, thinky, thinky, really good at anything conceptual, like conceptual thinking. Gemini. Boom.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Mandela effect. It's either the butterfly effect with a new name.
Okay. Butterfly effect is one option with a rebranded.
Correct. Or it has to do with being a freedom maker who went to jail.
Oh, like you have this effect on the world.
Yeah. Maybe. Like maybe you care a lot about
change maker.
You're a change maker. You're a liberator. You're a freedom seeker.
Okay. Tossing out little tennis balls here.
Could have something to do with feces, since that's how you started the podcast. And yep, that's a nothing. Little suspect.
I'm going to take that one off the table.
Damn it. All right. Okay. It could be a weather pattern thing.
Ooh.
It could have to do with...
Like
with
the Coriolis effect.
Correct. Which is the tornado thing, right?
Sort of. It's just the way that air moves somehow in a particular type of spiral, maybe? Question mark?
Because...
I don't know.
I heard an episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, not a scientist, a comedian, talking to another comedian, Kate McKinnon, about the Coriolis effect. And they're at a restaurant. I think that, yeah. And he uses the toilet bowl, the way water swirls around a toilet bowl and then goes down to describe it. But the joke of the moment is neither of them really know what they're saying.
Right. Gee, we don't know anything about that.
I wish I knew what that was like. So, okay.
Those are all good guesses.
Okay. So it could be that, or it could be the Mandela effect. The Mandela effect. It has something to do with the Mandela effect. It's like a family trauma related patterning where like if your dad was really something, then you're probably going to be very something. Or it could be like a legal term. It could have to do with like when you sign a document, if three people aren't watching, the Mandela effect goes into effect. The Mandela. Nope. It could be something to do with jet skiing or snowshoeing. Nope. It could be the Mandela effect. It doesn't have to do with weather, seriously. Does it have to do with weather? I love the idea that there are people listening who have known forever what the Mandela effect is, and that this is just like, how dumb is this woman? Or like, how hopefully hilarious are these guesses? Oh my God, did I just kill Cassidy with the Mandela effect?
I think so. This is a perfect example of the Mandela effect. I'm gonna say this and we'll see if
go ahead.
Was Cassidy ever a host of All the Answers?
Okay. So you're giving me hints is what you're doing.
Yes.
Okay. So for the listener, Cassidy's camera just went away. We're on Zoom. He's not here now. Just all of a sudden.
I just decided to just take a little pause. It's work.
Ooh, and your Wi-Fi is being weird. Don't worry. I'm going to drink some water over here and enjoy the Mandela effect of it all. Because as we all know, when you swallow water, sparkly water, the Mandela effect is what helps it go all the way down to the belly. Otherwise, it would get stuck.
It's the reason when you can stand on your head and swallow stuff and it still goes to your stomach. It's not gravity that takes to your stomach. It's the Mandela effect.
You made that up. He did make that up. Okay, here's what he said while you were gone.
This was a perfect time for me to give an example of the Mandela effect as a clue. And I said, was Cassidy ever a host on All the Answers?
That was his hint.
Oh, what do you think it means?
Is that a decent hint, Cassidy?
Kind of, because there's another aspect to it. But yes, it does have to do with...
Okay, then. All right. So it has to do with time travel. Mm. It has to do with time and space.
Time and space.
Okay. Okay, good. Ooh, okay. So it has to do with physics.
No, it has to do with how we perceive time and space, how we experience it individually.
Okay. So we experience it as linear, but it isn't.
Maybe. Or how do we process?
The Mandela effect is true. What?
How do we process time?
Okay. What is the Mandela effect?
It has to do with memory. Okay. It has to do with memory.
I'm ready.
You ready? You just want to know?
All right. I'll take one more guess. It has to do with memory and how we experience time space. So, okay. Maybe the thing where in the Oliver Sacks book, where the guy gets short-term memory loss.
That's it. That's the end of it. Yes. It's short-term memory loss. That's it.
So Oliver Sacks is the Mandela effect.
Yes. You got it. Nailed it.
I win.
Not even a little bit.
What do I win? What's my
prize?
You
win the true explanation of what the Mandela effect is.
Son of a bitch. All right.
The Mandela effect is a situation which occurs all the time in which there is a...
I'm so excited right now, by the way.
It's almost like a mass delusion. I can't wait
to hear what you're going to say.
It is a commonly held shared memory of something that happened in culture that is wrong.
Right. I got it. I have examples.
That never happened. So the best example is, the reason it's called the Mandela effect is, I'm going to ask you, Katie, whenabouts did Nelson Mandela die?
He's not dead.
Okay. Well, that would have been the answer 7 years ago.
Oh.
Mandela effect was created. The concept was created long before he died in 2013. However, many, 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 many people specifically remembered when Nelson Mandela died and like watching his funeral on TV and all that.
Wow. What year?
Throughout. They just thought in the 80s. They were like, yeah, like in the 80s or something. Didn't he die in like the 80s? He was president until 1993. So
weird. Okay. You want to hear another one?
Yeah.
So the little character on the, God damn it, Raisin Bran cereal box.
Okay.
People say he's got sunglasses on and white gloves. He's like a sun.
Okay.
With sunglasses on. So if you go, does the Raisin Bran character guy have sunglasses on? What is your answer before you Google it, except you're already Googling it?
Yeah, he totally has sunglasses on in my mind, in my eyes.
Okay. So Google that.
Yeah.
Does he have them?
Darn it. I couldn't find whether he has them or not. Raisin Bran.
Pretty sure it's Raisin Bran.
Yeah.
Everybody literally remembers it with like he had sunglasses and they're what? Oh,
and
yeah.
He has no sunglasses.
Right.
In reality.
Right.
My other favorite one, and I think I'll be honest, I'm not as excited about the ones that have to do with like products and how we remember how they looked, just because that seems like, oh, that's just a quirky little mental like, doesn't it have that? Oh,
I love those.
But the ones that I love are like things that fully happened in our mind, or like commonly held childhood things that we held very close to our heart and we are certain sounds a certain way. So like the one, the best one is the one about the bears, the family of bears. They're called the Berenstain
Bears, but it's not.
It's Stain. which is weird to me. It's so weird to me that it's the Baron.
But see, to me, that one makes a lot of sense because Berenstein sounds like a name we've heard. You've all met some Jews,
right?
And Jews have Stein or Stein, but nobody knows anybody named Stein, Berenstein. So I feel like that one's just like, well, your brain fills in like a thing you know,
right?
But I just say really quick, I like the pop culture ones, like the Raisin Bran one, only because for me, I was raised by television. I really was.
Yes.
And so to me, it has like a deep emotional impact. Like it's not just a flip throwaway thing because I didn't have parents. And so I had the Raisin Bran son. So I feel connected to him. So then it's like when I'm wrong about his glasses, it's very like, oh, what? You know, like the mind kind of can't.
Okay. So do you remember the 1980s movie?
Yeah.
I think it was 80s. I'm going to go with the 80s movie. Stick with me, Desmond, as I walk through this one. Do you remember the 1980s movie starring Sinbad where he plays a genie?
Right. I heard this one.
Yeah. That it's movie called Shazam.
Right. Except there's no movie called Shazam.
Sinbad called Shazam. There's a movie with Shaq called Kazam where he plays a genie. And everyone who remembers Shazam also is like, oh, yeah, I know about Kazam, but there's also this other one with Sinbad playing Shazam.
If I hadn't heard that one on Armchair Expert, I would have argued with you vehemently that there was a Shazam.
See, that's to me the most, like, that's where the Mandela effect comes into play, where it's like, no, I firmly have a full experience around that. Like, I know that movie occurred.
Yeah,
that's what I'm. And so that is what I think what we want to talk about, like the idea, because that has to do with like sort of the astronomy of human experience, you know, like that it's a fully developed thing that exists in our collective unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the product placement ones, some of them do, I think, fill that same void.
Because again, if it's emotional for you, like for me, the Looney Tunes logo is emotional. Because I grew up feeling safe only when Looney Tunes was on. That's going to be a big, weird moment in my life. If I'm like, it's spelled how? I watched it every day and it was the only time I felt safe in my life.
Right. And you look at it all the time and you're still like, that doesn't look familiar to me.
So for the listener, in case you don't know, the Looney Tunes, the rabbit, what's his name? Bugs Bunny in the circles. And then it says Looney Tunes under it. The question is, let's not give it away. Let's ask this one. How would you ask it?
Ask me, because I didn't look at it just now.
How would you ask it, Desmond?
How do you spell Looney Tunes?
Wait. Oh, okay. Sure. How is Looney Tunes spelled in the logo?
I would say, and this is because of Roger Rabbit that I would say this. I would say O-O-N-Y and then Tunes, T-O-O-N. Yes.
That's correct.
Oh, that is correct. See,
no, that's wrong.
That's incorrect.
Right. See?
That's the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
You even reconditioned yourself back to the...
Wait a minute. So, wait, that one I don't get because I only said it was correct because he just showed us that image and I saw that and thought, oh, that was the right one. I don't have a thing on this one, but I'm wondering...
What would you have said it was?
See, now I can't answer it because I've seen them next to each other and I'm just like...
I have seen this one and I would fight someone that it's not spelled T-O-O-N.
That it's spelled tunes like the music because they play music.
Right.
But how is it actually spelled?
T-U-N-E-S.
Oh, okay.
Wait, it is spelled T-U-N-E-S.
Yes.
Right.
But I would fight somebody.
Because it's a cartoon.
And it's loony. Like, let's get crazy with the spelling, too. Like, why would you get, like, correct
for that word?
Yeah.
Okay.
When you are already making a pun about cartoons in your...
Bleep, bleep, bleep. Perfect enunciation.
I think that's my favorite thing you've ever said. That's so dumb. Oh, I love it so much. That's great. Oh, that's funny. Okay. That's the Mandela effect. What's some other ones? What are some ones that are like, are there other ones that are cultural memories that people share? It's like,
well, there's definitely the most common one is...
I want you to ask me it so I can see if I do.
Okay, great. What does Darth Vader say to Luke that makes Luke freak the fuck out?
Right. I remember it being, Luke, I am your father, but it's not, right?
Correct. Correct. It is not.
It's like, I just heard this like 2 days ago. It's so funny.
He says, no, I am your father.
Dot, 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 Luke.
Nope, there's no Luke. It's implied. Luke's right there. And they're the only two in the room. Like,
why is he Luke's need to hanging say his
from
name?
A thing, and he's the only one there.
He's not going to say the name.
And it's one of the most the room acted moments in the canon.
Right.
He's very, very extreme in that moment. Okay, so that's a good one. Most of mine are I found a list that has a lot of lines from movies, which are very good because they're the movies that we quote.
All right, what do you got?
Okay, well, what, you know, the pretty peanut butter that starts with a J?
Jiffy.
Are you sure?
The pretty peanut butter. Pretty peanut butter?
Yeah, well, you're in the right neighborhood. Is that what it's called?
Well, there's Jiffy Pop, that's popcorn. And then the peanut butter is called, I don't know why it's pretty.
Well, I just meant it had like three pretty colors for its logo.
Okay, I can see it. It's not Jiffy. It's not Jiffy?
Right, I know.
What is
it? It hurts the heart to hear this. It's Jif.
Oh, right. Okay, Jif.
And there is Skippy peanut butter. And there is Jif peanut butter. And it is why we say we're supposed to call graphical interface function, whatever the little animated pictures that the guy in, we're supposed to call them GIFs.
GIFs.
Because that's what he named it after.
After
the guy who invented it.
After Jif.
He was like, yeah, he was like, ooh, I'll name it like the peanut butter. I'll call
it. Why didn't he spell it with a J then?
Because it's a graphical interface.
Oh.
It's a GIF.
I've always felt better saying GIF for no particular reason. Maybe because of GIF peanut butter.
Well, you're in the well actually camp then, because like people who know will be like, actually pronounced GIF based on the founder, which I just did. So I'm a well actually.
Except, you know what's annoying about that is that I feel like I have heard somebody well actually me on both sides of that argument. I have.
Well, the well actually is going to be, I don't care what the founder said. It is a G.
Yeah.
And there is no reason to have a soft sounding G with its G. Graphical. It's not giraffical.
Giraffical. Can we go to Jurassic Park?
Nice. There's a lot of good ones. Okay. More. The ursine animal that represents the Forest Service so that you should put out your forest fires.
Bear.
Yeah, what's he called? What's his name?
Smokey the Bear.
You sure? Commit to that thought.
Okay, give me a second. I mean, yeah, man.
Smokey Bear.
Smokey Bear. Nobody calls him that. That's dumb.
But it's because of a popular song that someone wrote about him, not the officially licensed character.
Oh.
But afterwards, someone wrote a song that to get the rhythm right called him Smokey the Bear. These are good ones. I like this list.
What else you got?
I got.
You also like it because you get to be right.
Oh, I don't know any of these. I get to be right by because I'm reading. But you're right.
I'm 1,000,000% kidding. Smokey Bear. Nobody says Smokey Bear.
I know. That one bothers me. That one hurts.
Like Smokey and the Bandit.
Right.
Smokey and the Bandit. That's a thing.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with forest fires or.
Correct. But I'm just saying.
And also BJ and the Bear.
Right.
Which is the worst name. Let's be honest. It is the gayest name.
It's the gayest name.
Of a 1980s television show.
Can I share, speaking of the gayest things, a friend of mine was telling me a story last night. And when she finished telling me the story, she said, and that was the gayest sex I've ever had. And I laughed for a long time just at the phrase, the gayest sex I've ever had. It's a great story anyway. BJ and the Bear.
I know. That's like the name of a gay club that used to be in San Francisco and a subculture of gay culture.
Exactly.
With big hairy men like that. They just put them together and they made it a trucker show. All right. So what do we say? What does the Great Oz say when they're about to discover, like the dog's about, it pulls the thing aside and then they all go, oh, Toto pulls the thing aside and the little man is behind the thing going like this. And what does Oz then say? Oh,
I am the great and powerful Oz. Oh, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah. And I'm certain that that is what is the line.
Okay.
Just as you just quoted it. That is
all right.
100%. Nope. It's that curtain. I mean, it's a minor tweak, but it just doesn't sound right at all. Pay no attention to the man behind that curtain.
And behind that curtain. But aren't they standing there looking at him in that moment?
Yeah, it makes sense because he's referencing. He's like, don't look at that curtain over there. Oh. But But still, it's just like, that's what we hear in our head. It's like, Luke, I am your father. Like, we have heard that quote.
Yeah.
It's like our neurons are fully myelinated on that quote.
Myelinated. Nice.
I don't even know if I used that right, but it sounded good. What do we think? I mean, I think a lot of them can be attributed to just like, oh, that's a, it sounded like it would have been more grammatically correct to do it that way. And so we all filled in the blank, like you said.
Sure.
But I think some of them are so massively fully fleshed out. That's the interesting part that I think, why does it happen?
Right. It is really interesting. Yeah. This reminds me too of like, there's so many things about human communication and human memory. Like when you talk to someone about, like, I'll give you an example. In my building right now, there's this big email thread. There's like a WhatsApp thread because there's some problems with the windows in this building and people are up in arms. Like there's shit going down. Mad, angry feelings. I mean, because people just, this building's brand new and most people in here own their units. They're big, huge condos and you should own them. They're gorgeous. And if you buy them for $500,000 or whatever they paid, you don't want, you know, 6 months into living there. And for some people like 2 months in, you don't want condensation and frozen water on the insides of your windows. That's a problem. So anyway, we have this elaborate thread and what'll happen is people will talk on the thread, the WhatsApp thread, about you have to email this person and call that guy. And here's what he said in the email and the phone number, this, and then 20 people talk about it. And then you're in the hallway 2 hours later at the, you know, the elevator, and you run into some people who are on the thread and just trying to recap. So what are you guys going to do? And then people reference the thread. Everybody has a different memory of what was said on the thread. We all just read it, but because of where we're at emotionally, each of us, with regard to the topic at hand, the windows being frozen and people being cold, it's not good. Then everybody's got a different, already, some people are already like solving the problem by handling it themselves. Some people are insisting that the management company handle it. Some people have already called the window people. Like it's, so wherever your head is about it, you remember the conversation that was had the way you want to.
Love that.
And you don't mean to, but it sure seems real.
No, like perception bias is like, it's a real thing. And we autocomplete things the way we remember it, the way either we don't want it to have happened, but we're so angry that it happened that way that remember, we like remember specifics that didn't happen in order to make it even worse.
Yeah.
Or we remember the best version of it that works in our favor the most.
Exactly. What's that called? Something, something bias?
Confirmation bias.
Yeah. Confirmation bias. Yeah.
Yeah. You only see the things that complete your worldview or that fit in your worldview. You're like, oh.
Or that justify your worldview.
Well, I believe this about vaccines because I already believe this about vaccines. So now I'm going to believe this piece of data over this piece of data.
Yeah.
Because I,
yep.
Because it fills in where I've already chosen to plant my flag.
Yeah, exactly. It's so problematic.
Yeah. And we just, we all do it all the time. I do it on everything. I do it on my progressive causes.
Yeah. It's what's so problematic is it makes it hard for people to really hear each other. So, cause you can't be present. What hearing requires presence. And if you're not fully here, you can't really hear what I'm saying.
Hey,
you can kind of hear me, but it's all getting filtered through what you already have decided. They talk about this in Landmark Education, for those of you,
like, the shudder ran through my body whenever someone says Landmark, I go,
see, and that's one I know.
That's my confirmation bias.
There it is. But I get it. I mean, and for those listening, that, you know, Landmark used to be EST in the 70s and then it became Landmark Education. And they would
because
say,
because they had to get rid of a guy who was basically abusing people. And so they had to rebrand it in order to get away from this guy who was sleeping with underage girls.
Which every time there's an organization ever and there's people teaching consciousness and there's a man at the head of it, that's what happens.
Yep.
Name a time it hasn't happened. Name a time. I'm ready.
Yeah. I mean, hasn't happened yet, maybe in some current iterations of things, but it's a yet.
I mean, fucking, I really did. I, for my whole life, have not wanted to believe that was true and have resisted the, and it's just fucking true. Anyway, in Landmark, they say you want to be aware of how you're already always listening. So like when you and I talk to Cassidy every week. I know who Cassidy is. I'm already always listening to Cassidy for Cassidy to be a certain way. And then they talk about how when you break your, if you can like open, for me, the trick I use is I open my eyes a little wider and I consciously let go of everything I've decided about Cassidy. And Cassidy's just an example because you're sitting here, but like
no.
Every interaction you have with anyone ever, if you can break your already always listening, like how you're already always listening to them, it changes everything because it actually brings you present. But that's how much we live in our heads and in the past that we think we just can't hear people how they're, how they mean to be heard.
That's fucking huge. That's shaking me a little bit to my core. And
isn't that great?
I have a great example. Desmond seems to have an example of that idea
with his penis mic. Your mic is so penisy. It's like really girthy and penisy. And I kind of want to date your microphone.
The Sounds Awesome crew. We now have three of these. So if you want to join,
oh my goodness,
the Blue Yeti movement, I highly recommend it. We're going to get sponsored by them. I'm sorry. I wasn't listening to everything you said. So I'm sorry if I totally just
that's
like,
so perfect.
I know. Well, I was going through Cassidy's list and then just thinking about like how you expect things to be. So scientists, real scientists, are pretty sure, you know, they say that, yes, yeah, scientists, you know, they say like most accidents happen within a mile of home.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
And there's a lot of different explanations for that. But one of the explanations is that things happen in the world faster than we can process.
That's fair.
Brain can only process so much, but it also has the ability to load a previous image, basically. Like we have like a cache cookie system in our brain. And when you look behind your car to back out, your brain preloads that existing image. It's like, oh, we know what's back there. Boom, here it is.
I see.
Because I've seen that 1,000 times.
It doesn't load the car that's coming down the street. Because
right.
That's never been there before. So it literally doesn't load.
That makes sense.
That's why you back out and have an accident in your driveway more than anywhere else.
Okay. You know, I was thinking about this last night, because that idea has always scared me so much, Des, that you get in an accident within, what do they say, 5 miles of your house or 2 minutes of your house or whatever, that I always do this thing to counteract it. I'm always like, okay, we're 5 minutes out and we're waking up. Like I go like, I'm present. I'm here. What's happening? I start to scan more actively because I don't want to go to sleep and have it happen. Right. So last night, I think it was, I came home and I was pulling into I park in a garage under the building. And as I was pulling into the driveway, there were two deer like traipsing across the street from like, they shouldn't be there. They shouldn't be there because there's like woods near here, but not that near. Like these deer are clearly lost because it's like urban sort of ish. There's like the rivers right there, but then it's like train tracks, houses, my street, and then the town of like the downtown and all the shops. So the deer, the way they're going, they're heading to the coffee shop. And I'm like, guys, you don't need espresso that bad. Go back to nature. And I worried about them. And I, because they were in my 2 minutes time of close to home, got inside, a couple hours went by, did what I did, checked my phone, same WhatsApp thread where everybody's upset about the windows. Somebody said, did everybody see the dead deer outside? Someone hit a deer. And I know. And I was just like, fuck. I mean, when I saw those deers, I opened my windows and I said, you guys, that way, go that way. Like, I knew it wasn't going to do anything, but like, I just was like, come on, guys, don't, it's coffee over there. Somebody hit the deer.
And you knew it. You glimpsed that possible future.
Yeah.
Probably.
Poor deersies. Deers are so amazing. And I know that like people who grew up in areas where deers are all around all the time, they get cranky. They're like, deer eat, they eat our plants. Like people hate deer. If you've had deer your whole life, they're like the pigeons of the forest. I just like, oh, they're so pretty and delicate and lovely and adorable and big and weird. And they're like puppies, but tall. Like they're just amazing. Like why? Oh, I don't care how many deer eat my plants. I still want them to live. People get mad at deer. Have you ever run into that?
Yeah. I mean, if you live rurally or have a garden.
I know.
They can just fuck right off because they want everything.
Yeah.
And apparently like more people die from deer than from being mauled by bobcats or some, because people think they're cute and they go up and then the deer literally just goes with its paws and dents your head and you're dead.
But really, I thought the deer deaths were happening because of car accidents. which is also not great. Like deer just run out in the street and then you slam into one and everybody's dead.
That's probably true too. I actually am just quoting. Again, I'm almost a Mandela effect type thing. Like I saw a thing and then I created a mythology around it. I saw one headline once and then I backloaded a story that I read the article with full detail. Like I think we've definitely done that where you're like, I have this full, no. I saw the article. Then you go looking for it and you're like, that never happened.
Yeah. That's like Mandela effect meets man facting. It's a little bit of a blur.
Yeah. Snopes and Mandela effect. Yeah.
They meet each other. I just had a very random thought, but I wonder what you think about this idea. Sometimes when I'm doing the podcast with you guys, because we're on Zoom, I'm looking at my face sometimes.
Oh, I do it all the time. My face, not yours.
And I'm like thinking about how yesterday or a couple days ago I was going to burp. Yeah, I burped. How a couple days ago I was putting a bunch of stuff on camera, which we should talk about that too. That was cool. Putting some stuff, like making some self-tapes for some auditions. And so I had makeup on like 3 days in a row. Like I had to put makeup on my face. And I'm coming out of a period of like an injured foot and COVID and winter. So I'm like very frumpy. I'm like hard frumping it. You know, and my business is at home, so I don't have to unfrump ever. You know, I just have to take the dog out. And what you can do with winter that I like in terms of frumpiness, you just throw a coat and a hat on top of it. You could stay frumpy all day. Nobody has to know. So hardcore frumping, then I'm putting makeup on, like lady pretty cheekbones makeup, you know, on camera. And I'm like, I am truly a different person. Like I look like a clown with makeup, like a fully different, like a drag queen clown.
I think you might be putting it on wrong, Katie. If you look like a clown, maybe you should get some advice. I don't know.
Yeah. The truth is, I actually think I look like a lovely, pretty person. Like I actually look like feminine and kind of attractive sort of ish when I put makeup on. But right here talking to you, I look like fully my dad. My dad in his 60s. Like
right now without makeup, you look like your dad is what you're saying.
Old Jewish man is what I look like, which is fine. Old Jewish men, love them. But I happen to not be an old Jewish man. And so I don't really want to look like an old Jewish man. So then the thought I was having was like, that's like normal thinking of like, oh, there I go looking like a man. I have that thought all the time. And I just sort of don't engage with it very deeply. I go, okay, all right, you're fine. Let's move on. But when I'm looking at you, I'm going, what if Cassidy as a man in our world 2 days ago had his man makeup on where he looked like a prettier version of himself and then had to compare his pretty made up self to his normal guy frumpy self? What if we put men through that? Like, what if men had like, wait, I do look like the people in the magazines. I can pass. And then you take it all off and realize the stark, horrifying reality. If men had to go through that, I really wonder what that would do. I actually literally wonder. I don't have any idea because, yeah.
Oh, I mean, I can speak to that a little bit. And I think, as always, Cassidy has a caveat. You're absolutely right. Culturally speaking, there's no comparison in terms of the weight of that reality.
Right.
Comparatively. But I definitely very strongly have what I think of as like almost dysmorphia occasionally, mm-hmm. like body dysmorphia, but it's facial. It's almost always facial. But sometimes it's like an outfit or something. I'll put it on and be like, this outfit looked great one time and it looks fucking awful right now. And then I'll look at my face some days and I'll be like, how is this person at all attractive? This person should never be on film. That guy has no business asking people to look at him. And then another day, and it may be because I get my hair right or get my beard dialed in or something. I'll be like, God damn, motherfucker. All right. And I'll actually think I will be attracted to myself, like
yeah,
looking good. And then other days, but it's not necessarily like the makeup thing where I can like, I mean, it's a little bit of grooming, but a lot of it is the way my eyes are working that day in terms of like my eye to heart connection is somehow frazzled that day. And I look at myself, and I'm just like, what the hell? What is happening with that jawline? What?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good to hear that. Like,
I have some really bad lighting right now. I'm looking at myself and I am lit from the top down. So it's just like
you're all cheek.
What little jowls I have are just really accentuated. I need some underlighting on me right now.
Yeah, I actually, like, I don't even say that with anger in this moment. I'm not even mad about it. I'm more just like, wonder if men got pretty, like extra pretty regularly, like it was socially normal to do that. And then they were unpretty and hung, and like, would they have the same, should I wear makeup? Should I not wear makeup? And this brings me to something my buddy Kat Zdan said, who we had on the podcast. I think I've talked about this on here before, but she said to me one time, real casually, just tossed it off. Real casual. She goes, well, you do not present as straight, like real casual. Well, you know, you don't present straight at all. And I was like, huh? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, oh. And then the subject got changed or something. And we didn't get into it in that moment. And it really stayed with me. And a few months later, I asked her, I said, can you help me understand what you meant by that? Because like, nothing wrong with not seeming straight, except that I happen to date dudes and I don't want to be putting off too dykey of a vibe if I'm not.
Right. And you do talk about dick a lot.
I like dick. I do like it. But the point being, like, I don't want to fully turn men away with my vibes if I'm like presenting as so not straight all the time. So anyway, and I mean, that's also a silly thought because plenty of dudes are attracted to like whatever you got going on. Whoever likes you is going to like you. You know what I mean? So it's a silly binary thinking pattern anyway. But anyway, I said to her, can you clarify for me like what you meant by that? And she was like, oh God, I hope I didn't make you feel bad or self-conscious. I didn't, because she's bisexual and open about it and very vocal. So she's like, oh yeah, whatever. Like you don't present straight. That to her is like not a big deal. So she goes, no, I just meant you don't dress for men. And I was like, like it was another like, what are you coming up here, Squeezle? Oh, I've missed you this whole time. Squeezle, you guys, has a new habit of, there's a heating pad on the bed for my, oh hi, for my injured leg. It's not for my injured leg anymore, it's for the dog now. She's a tiny, tiny hairless beast who needs warmth in the wintry months. So she just sleeps straight up on the, so at night I'm like slowly edging her off the heating pad to try to give like sustenance to my injured leg. Anyway, she goes, you don't dress for men. Hi, what do you need? You're just here? And you don't dress for men. And I've been, so that one's been with me for a few weeks where I'm like, I don't dress for men. And then I'm like, I don't dress for men. I actually really, it got me thinking and I realized, oh, fucking A, I really don't dress for men. I dress, when I think about it, because I've been thinking about it a lot since she said it, I put clothes on that I think make me look less chubby than I think I am. Like it has to be somewhat slimming. It has to match the mood I'm in that day. So it has to feel like how I feel that day. And it has to be comfortable in a way where I'm not thinking about, is my belly sticking out? Like I need the shirt to cover enough. Like it's, I'm accomplishing several things with the outfits. Like I think it's cute. It matches my mood. And I don't feel extra chubby in it, in the specific area of the belly. Because I've always had self-consciousness around the belly area. You know, as I've gotten older, I've gotten more risky with it. I'll be like, fuck it, I'm wearing a form-fitting shirt and America could suck me off. And here's my belly, America. But that's like, I got to be in a specific mood to pull that off with myself. So none of that, you'll notice, has anything to do with like, what will men think I look like in these clothes? Like, will it be hot or sexy to men? And I have always, and then I started to think like, wait a minute. Well, let me think about my straight female friends. Oh shit. And even some of my non-straight female friends, they are dressing for men. They're dressing like, these are my tits. Look at them. Here's my waist. My ass is kind of hot. Here's my ass. And I'm like, I just never thought of it that way, which helps me be like, I'm pretty queer. Like I'm queer, you know, in my own way. It's like, I'm not doing heteronormative stuff a lot of the time, but I don't. And I'm sort of gayish. I'm like gay light. I'm gay adjacent, as we've talked about. I like dick a lot, but then sometimes ladies, but it's very casual for me. So I'm like, yeah, kind of bisexual, but like the percentages are weird. You know, I'm like 85% straight. So what do you call that? And Kat was saying, you call it bisexual. It's just not, it doesn't have to be 50-50 in order to be bisexual. Are you reading the ceiling?
I'm thinking if I dress for women.
Right.
Because I like to put on clothes and look good, but yeah. Am I dressing for women? No, I also think I'm dressing for men, to be honest. So that's why I'm a little like, yes, and with her idea that you're not presenting as straight. No, in my mind, that doesn't necessarily mean straight, gay, or bi. That has to do with, are you dressing to please the power, or are you dressing to
please yourself?
please herself. And because the power ultimately is straight white men, unfortunately, in general.
Yeah.
And so, and I am also like, I'm dressing often. I'm thinking about like, I'm dressing to impress my friend Michael, who also dresses really nicely, or I'm dressing to look good to everybody, which unfortunately probably means to more men.
Yeah.
To be impressed. I'm dressing to impress in that context. And that impression isn't necessarily to attract a mate, but to make an impression.
Yeah.
And I've never thought about this. So I'm processing this out loud based on what you just said. But I think, so like Kat's concept is like, you don't dress to impress men. And in my mind, I want to be like, fuck yeah. So it's like, good, fucking good for you. Thank God. But two, it's like, why the I wouldn't necessarily associate that with being gay or straight.
I hear you.
Or bi or pan.
Yeah. That's interesting. Like I could dress how I dress and be, and I could dress for men, but still be gay.
Yeah.
Right. Like I could dress for dudes. I could dress to it for the white hegemonic group to approve of me.
Yeah.
And yet like to eat a lot of puss.
Yeah.
I would also say that a lot of the women you were making an example of dressing for men, I would say at least half of them are doing that for other women to be like, my tits are still perky. My ass is still like a man may notice, but you're definitely going to notice.
Yeah, that's true.
That I'm a step above you.
Right. Because women feel they have to compete with each other. Not
a woman. A woman can get laid. A woman can get laid in sweats.
Yeah.
And a hoodie. That's not a problem.
Right.
But they're not going to scare away other women in that.
True.
Oh, shit. God, I hate fucking patriarchy.
Mic drop. It's all real. Mm-hmm. Side note. Have you by any chance seen the bit on the Colbert show on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert? The current show where he has a series of questions he asks famous guests, and his joke is that like once you answer these questions you are fully known.
No,
like we will know you at the end of this, you know, that's his bit or whatever. One, so it's like, what is the best sandwich? And
oh, do you have that list? Because I think you should absolutely ask us those questions.
All right, let's do it right now. Let's do it right.
We'll all three give as brief an answer as we can for all of these.
Okay. Colbert's questionnaire. Let's see if it's here. Here we go. 15 questions to cover the full spectrum of human experience. Here we are. Take the questionnaire. I've watched a bunch of these. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
And we'll do Cassidy first. We have to go one at a time, I think.
And I'll try and just go fast. I'll just try and like first answer, best answer.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that is how he does it. Yeah.
Okay.
Best sandwich.
Reuben.
Oh. What's one thing you own that you really should throw out?
Old electronics.
Okay. What kind?
Every kind. Mostly phones.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. What is the scariest animal?
A vulture.
Oh, why?
I don't know. They just tear guts out and stuff. And that's scary to me.
Okay. All right.
That's just, I can't stand behind that one. That one doesn't feel as true to me.
All right.
I might have a better answer.
Take your time, I think.
I think like like the big, super poisonous caterpillars, the super furry, super poisonous caterpillars. That scares the shit out of me. Like
more
you gotta
than
step
like
on
a
it.
Spider?
I'm fine with spiders. You can deal with them.
More than a caterpillar?
Trust. They're super toxic.
They're not aggressive, though.
Yeah, but you're going to just step on them because they're walking along the ground and you're like, I'm dead.
Okay. Scariest animal.
My foot fell off because I touched this caterpillar.
Weird. All right. Number four, apples or oranges?
Ooh, hard. Best apple better than the best orange.
Okay. Stephen Colbert always says, correct, because you can't put peanut butter on an orange. Number five, have you ever asked someone for their autograph? This is usually to famous people, but we'll ask you anyway.
Yes.
Who?
Harlan Ellison. I had him sign a first edition of a book of his I had.
He's an author?
And then subsequently lost that book. Yes, he's an author.
Of what kind of stuff?
Short stories. I used to collect all of his work and I was a big fan of his. And
cool.
I was at a convention, not a convention, I was at a conference that we were both member guests at, but I was like totally starstruck by him.
Well, that's adorable. How old were you?
19.
Cool. What do you think happens when we die?
Something. I fucking don't know. Some version that I can't describe because the words that we use are all metaphorical. Some version of rejoining a collective, but it might, I don't think that any of the words we use actually tell us what it is because words are dumb.
Okay. I hear you. Favorite action movie?
Favorite action movie.
Like, how do you pin it down, right?
Yeah. I mean, I love a good, like, heisty thing. So, like, you know, but I haven't watched it multiple times. And I just watched a couple of the Mission Impossible movies again. They're really good. They do a really good job. So I'm going to go with the first few Mission Impossible movies.
The first few Mission Impossible movies.
Yeah, because they're kind of like tied together. They're kind of like one movie almost.
Okay.
Maybe two. MI2. I'm going to go with MI2.
It's very specific.
That's
very
my gut.
Well done.
It's my gut right now.
Great. Favorite
Probably wrong.
Smell.
Ooh, God. Cooking onions.
What?
Oh, God, it's so good.
All right. I love that answer. Least favorite smell.
Puke.
Frequently on the show, people talk about feces there.
Yeah.
Exercise. Worth it?
Yes. Wish I did it.
Got it. 11, flat or sparkling. This is what made me think of this.
Sparkling if when available, but I never have it. I don't provide it for myself, even though I love it more.
Oh God, I'll make a special trip in winter with an injured foot to get sparkling water. most used app on your phone.
App, because I don't have Facebook on an app. So because of that, because I don't want it to be too convenient. All the different, it's going to be multiple apps because it's all the different TV viewing apps that I broadcast to my TV with.
Okay. Like?
So like the Paramount Plus app. I use that one a lot. I watch a lot of shows on Paramount Plus.
Interesting. Like, what's an example of one thing you're watching on Paramount Plus right now?
I'm embarrassed by all of them because they're all my trash brain ones. They're all these like.
I'm extra excited.
All the NCISs.
Oh, they're on there?
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Including the current one that's on, which is NCIS Hawaii, which isn't very good. It's not that great, but I still watch them.
Hey, man, I watched Selling Sunset from beginning to end twice, two times.
Yeah, basically, I watch things that have to do with like FBI or I don't like cop shows, like police specific, but I love agency shows. So like NCIS or FBI or CIA.
Okay. I got you. You get one song to listen to for the rest of your life. What is it?
Right now, it's still Begging, the Maneskin cover of Begging. Because I'm begging, begging you. It's a Four Seasons song, but it's this cover by Maneskin just gives me everything.
Rock and roll. Good answer. What number am I thinking of?
12.
No. Describe the rest of your life in 5 words.
Keep going with occasional flares.
Wow. Keep going, which is so sad. And with occasional, which is sad, flares, which isn't exactly great.
That's not the word I was looking for, but it's what came out. I tried to do it quick.
Did you mean like joy? Joy flares?
Yeah. Or like peak experiences. Like,
okay.
But not like constant peak experiences. Just like keep going with occasional peaks. Ones. Right.
That's
all right.
Nice.
Should I right. fire it at Desmond and then Desmond will fire it at you?
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Desmond, ready?
Let's do it.
Best sandwich.
Turkey, plenty of mayo.
Ooh,
I agree with that.
Yeah, it's also turkey's kind of boring to me, but I love that mayo.
But that mayo with an onion,
it's good. What's one thing you own that you should really throw out?
Books.
Oh yeah. Good answer.
They haunt me. I don't fucking read them. And they haunt me.
That's what Marie Kondo says to start with, apparently. Someone told me.
Books?
I didn't read the book, but someone told me.
You don't have to go that fast. You can take your time.
Do you have more you need to say about that? What's the scariest animal?
Bats.
Okay.
Any more to say about that?
They just, it's like, I fucking hate moths, but I know I should.
Me too. God, I hate moths. Rami's going to get a laugh out of this one. I hate them.
Really?
You can't. Anything with that unpredictable of a flight pattern, like most people are freaked out about bees. Bees, I can track and whack.
Track and whack.
Moths. Yeah. Moths are jumping through dimensions the way they fly. And you can't fucking. Ugh. And so a bat is just like
a big, scary moth. A big hairless moth.
Yeah.
Go bats have hair too. Apples or oranges?
Apples.
Because you can't put peanut butter on an orange.
Yes.
Have you ever asked someone for their autograph?
No.
Really?
Well, when she first asked, I was like, no, never. And then you gave your answer, and to sign something like that to me isn't an autograph. Like if someone's like,
oh yeah,
best wishes, Harlan Ellison. But like to just get someone's name on a napkin, now what?
On a napkin.
I've never understood that. So
have you ever had someone sign something?
No.
Someone famous?
Yeah, no.
What do you think happens when we die, Desmond?
The closest explanation would be it's like a dream. Like that, like it's, yeah, just dream. Like you're aware, but you don't have full control. And like, you know, I feel like, you know, if you've ever had one of those nights where maybe you overslept or something and you start dreaming after the, like, at least this mm-hmm. is what it's like for me. If I start dreaming after the 8th or 9th hour, I'm kind of in it and I can maybe even control it a little bit. And I feel like that's what death would be like. Like you'd be in that state for so long that eventually you get kind of a grip.
Like a lucid dream.
Yeah, but it would still be elusive to some extent.
This is going to be a hard one for Des. Favorite action movie?
Point Break.
What?
I've had some time to think about it. Like if I didn't hear you ask Cassidy, I would have been
Point Break.
But that one just, yeah. I mean, there's a lot out there. I go Die. It's funny that two of them are Keanu Reeves.
Die Hard.
Speed is way up there. And these are movies, like, it's a timing too. Like I've probably seen something in the last 10 years that's technically better. But you know, if you see it when you're 13, like that's gonna have an impact.
That's true. I see. What about because the question doesn't imply or suggest, is it current favorite, current best, or best from childhood, which I feel like would be different for me.
I feel like it's all time best. So whatever lives in, so it's, yeah. And okay. It is going to be different because it's going to be what made an impression and sticks with me. And, or do I want to watch over and over, which is not anything for me because I generally don't rewatch movies.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that's why, like, I'm glad they say action movie too, because if you just say, what's your favorite movie? That's an endless conversation. Like video games too. Like I don't have a favorite video game. I do have a favorite driving video game. I have a favorite sports, you know, per genre, I can pick one out.
Favorite smell?
Lavender.
Oh,
nice.
I love hearing these from people.
Least favorite smell?
Really bad breath.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah. That's,
I don't mind a little morning breath.
No, but the stink, the one that's like that, almost like they have shit in their mouth one.
Yeah.
Oh God.
The worst.
I have a memory coming up.
Me too. And it's not a good one.
Nope. All right.
I think the person I'm associating with also did a lot of coke, and I'm wondering if there was an association.
Huh.
Oh, keep it dry. Dry mouth is not good for breath.
Exercise. Worth
yes.
it? Worth it.
Absolutely.
He's got like a pump and iron podcast, doesn't he?
They've been training me. And since they've been training me, my back pain went away.
That's cool.
Like that right there makes it absolutely worth it.
Totally.
Steel or Kongas?
Kongas, 100,000%. My Soda Stream. If I had.
Keep thinking about getting one for that reason. Katie, why don't you have one?
I have one.
Oh, okay.
I have 8 different ways to have bubbly water in this house.
most used app on your phone?
You know what? I'm going to cheat on this a little bit.
I did. Say
that if someone was like, okay, you can keep one app, I'm keeping Run Pee.
What's that?
It's an app that tells you when to go to the bathroom when you're at the movies.
What?
Yes.
So you set the movie, you tell it what movie you're watching, and then you hit start.
And it's got three, they try to give you 3 options. And there's like a only an emergency. There's a you're not going to miss anything. And there's a this is your last fucking chance, but hurry back. And it's fucking.
So you can't use this app like if you go to the opening day of a movie, because like someone has to have experienced it.
These people are like, one time I wanted to see an opening day movie, and they have a couple people in their circle that help them out, and they'll have someone on the East Coast go to a 10 a.m. viewing.
Wow.
So by the time I get to the 7 p.m. in California, I'm good to go.
That's nuts.
Run P. Can we get sponsored by Run P? Because that's a.
I want it so bad. They don't even have to sponsor us. I'll just shout it out.
Okay. Next question.
You get one song to listen to for the rest of your life. What is it?
Eminem's Marshall Mathers.
Wow.
Okay. What's one of the little hooks on that one?
I'm just Marshall Mathers. I'm just a regular guy. I don't know why all the fuss about me. Nobody ever gave a fuck before. All they did was doubt me. Everybody want to run their mouth and try to take shots at me.
It sounds like a jazz standard.
The way you sing it.
It's one of those songs, too. I love songs that kind of start out talking, move to singing, and then just fucking hardcore rapping. It's just such a great slide.
What number am I thinking of?
24.
Nope. Describe the rest of your life in 5 words.
Till the wheels fall off.
Okay. You're so hardcore, Dez. Till the wheels. I want you to know, I have actively tried hard and succeeded to not think about these. I have not
That's
thought
impressive.
About them.
That's impressive. That's impressive, Katie.
I'm actively going like, nah, I'm going to stay space cadet on this one.
Okay, you ready?
So I'm going to come up with these in the moment. Here we go.
Ooh, I should do them out of order, huh?
Okay.
Favorite action movie?
It's either T2 or Die Hard.
Good one, T2.
I'm going T2. Nice. It's T2.
I hate my answer now compared to both of your answers. I just went like, what came to my brain? I'm going to save that one. Have you ever asked anyone for their autograph?
I can't remember.
Did you ask Whoopi Goldberg for her autograph that weird one time?
We just had a moment.
Or
I think the answer is no.
Yeah, I can't see you doing that.
Mm-mm.
Flat or sparkling? I think we know the answer.
Sparkling.
Yes. Any thoughts on that?
It's just period, end of conversation.
Most used app on your phone?
I have to look at the phone to know. I'm going to say it's so boring, but the answer, I think, is Gmail.
Yeah. Mine is actually Gmail or WhatsApp, I think.
Yeah. Gmail. I'm big into Signal.
Me too.
So Gmail and Signal, I think.
So like communication apps.
Yeah, it's boring.
Yeah,
all right,
but it's true. Best sandwich?
I think I have to go specifically the Subway sub 6-inch turkey on white toasted with mayo and onion and the salt and pepper and the seasoning thing they have. Subway subs.
Hey, very nice.
Yeah, very white bread and nothing.
Apples or oranges?
You know what's interesting? My whole life I would have said apples. I'm going oranges today. I'm just in that. Right now I like oranges better.
I mean, a perfect orange, which is rare because they're always like, oh, that was almost it. But a perfect orange is so fucking good.
I know. I'm just in that. I might just be low on vitamin C or something because I'm all about those oranges right now. Okay.
What's one thing you own that you should really throw out, Katie?
A bunch of stuff in this closet. Like, it's like, I don't even know what's in there. That shit. The stuff where you're like, what's even in there? I never even
so
look at that.
That closet.
I carried it from Colorado and I still don't know what it is. It probably needs to go.
I was just going to say that too. I'm like, you realize you just packed that shit up and moved it across.
Twice.
Twice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did a really good job of throwing a bunch of stuff away. But when I think about the one place where there's clutter in my life, it's right in there. That closet.
What is the scariest animal?
Okay. I feel like I think it's between, like, I'm thinking about life threatening. I could get hurt in my actual life. I'm going spider or snake. It's boring, but that's how I feel. Like if I meet a snake,
just any snake,
well, like a poisonous snake that you meet in nature where you're hiking and then all of a sudden it's right there and you're like, ah, la, la! Like,
yeah,
that's, I mean, if that guy gets you, you're dead fast. Same with some spiders. Like they fucking fuck you up and they're tiny.
Yeah.
And then you're dead.
And they crawl in your mouth while you sleep.
Exactly. Although, I mean, if I met a fucking, I don't know, a howler monkey and it was real close to my face, or there's a lot of wild animals that I feel like if you ran into a rhinoceros real and he was in the right mood, maybe he'd be scary.
Hippos apparently are really vicious.
Aggressive. Really? Like,
again,
how so?
I didn't read the article. I just saw a headline. That's one of those.
Okay. I want to know. I'm going to look that one up. Like, do they tear bodies apart? Do they eat human flesh? What's the deal?
I think so. They might just like stampede you and like their teeth are just like, arr.
Okay.
But they're probably kind of slow. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe they're super fast.
Because they're big. They're fucking huge.
Favorite smell?
Baking bread.
Oh, so good. Grrr. Hold on. I just got to sit with
it. Yeah. From a bread factory, ideally.
Yeah. Least favorite smell?
I think you got it with puke. I think I was going to say my first answer to that is like dried up shit in someone else's underwear. and you accidentally catch a whiff.
Wow. Don't know if I know that one, if I'm certain of its occurrence when it happened. Like, well, I know what that is. That's dried up shit in your underwear.
Like, if you've ever accidentally picked up a dude's pair of underwear and just you're moving it and it just passes by your face at all, and there's an any
there's a skid mark of some
skid
sort.
Skid marks, that is its own special scent. But puke, there's nothing I can't, there's nothing worse.
Exercise worth it?
Yes.
That's one of those resentful answers.
I always feel better. It's the best. It elevates my mood. It calms me down. And I don't even realize I need any of those things until after. And it's always great.
All right, Katie, everyone settle in. What do you think happens when we die?
Okay. I think settle in, buckle up. I think first the soul leaves the body and merges into the vast oneness of the all that is. It then hangs out in a kind of realm of consciousness before it's ready to consider what form it's going to take next. Then you go chit chat with the record keepers. Truly, this is what I've read and it reads for me. And you look at everything you've learned and not learned and what the soul needs to learn now. And then you flip through a book of like, which lives are going to be most useful to accomplish that thing? Or are you ready to go to a different form? Like, what needs to happen now? And then you, depending on things I don't understand yet, you kind of wait around a long time or you just go. And I don't know about that time period, but either you're like chilling for a while in a vast realm of light. And yes, all the ones you love are there and you're with them in oneness of love. And then you individuate again and reincarnate.
A really useful digest of all the different ways. I appreciate that. I'm glad to have heard that.
There you
have. Did we do favorite? We did favorite action movie, but most used.
What if my answer was like, I don't think there's an afterlife.
Nothing.
We just die. It's just a meat suit.
Right.
After all these episodes, nothing. I'm not so sure about this God thing either. Okay, go ahead.
You get one song to listen to for the rest of your life. What is it?
Okay. Every time I hear this question, I can't, so hard. I don't think I can answer the question. I have the thing where one song hooks in my brain and I'm obsessed with it forever and ever and ever. And then I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem with my answers. I know that I would need to get that the fuck out in another month.
Right. So right now I don't have one of those in my head. So I literally can't think of any songs, none. Then I think of songs and I go, no, not that one, not that one. So I think I just have to, I can't. N-A is my answer.
Can I ask?
Not Apple.
I'm going to ask an extra one on that one for everybody.
Okay.
Name one song that'll make you cry no matter what, every time you hear it.
Cat's Cradle.
I think we asked this before. Desmond, do you have an answer?
Eminem's Marshall Mathers.
I got to go with Cat's Cradle, because if you're going with every time.
Yeah.
Like, I can't get that. So now that you've said it, it's just like, yeah.
I hear you.
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I Was a Boy by... Dar Williams. Every fucking time I'm like, okay.
You've got such fun alternative song things.
It's just, it's the one that stuck in my, it's the one that when I heard it and then heard it another time, it's the first time I noticed that phenomenon. Like, oh, I can't avoid crying when I hear this song.
I'm just saying, like,
so that's why I remembered it. Yeah.
The pool of songs you're pulling from when you answer these questions about songs is quite eclectic and diverse and off the beaten path and alternative. I like gave up trying with music years ago. I'm like, well,
Cat Stevens, we know it. It's
yeah. If it comes across my ears and I like it, oh, I like that. But I never like pursued learning new music. It's terrible. Rami recently said, oh, John Baptiste, blah, blah, blah. And I went, who? And they had to tell me who that was.
And then you were like, Stephen Colbert's band leader.
Exactly. I hadn't even put it together and I watched the show.
Okay. Katie, I have a question for you.
Yep.
What number am I thinking of?
7.
No. I was really concentrating hard on the number 93.
I got nothing. I didn't try very hard.
That's all right. And finally, very important, Katie, describe the rest of your life in 5 words.
Fun, dogs, joy, wealth, friends.
Oh.
Does that count
when
as
I was
a song?
A boy.
Yeah. Does that count as a song we can all cry about?
Yeah. For some reason, that just landed.
Oh, that's nice.
Nice job.
Thanks.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, doing this activity means we can't get to the records because I got excited.
Yeah, we did spiritual. That was our version of spiritual stuff today. We bonded on a spiritual level about things.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
And that was really cool. I'm like, now I'm all these things I'm thinking about.
I love you guys.
I love you too. That was a really fun conversation today.
Yeah.
Love it.
I guess we'll go do our work.
We're going to do our work and people are going to sign up for the Patreon and
okay, bye. Are you asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers?
Yeah, all the answers. Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @AllAnswersPod, @AllAnswersPod. Thank you.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Good audio.